Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the Pelicans are still in the play-in game in the playoffs, and they're trying to fill the house over there at the Smoothie King Arena, and tickets are available, some actually low-cost tickets, and all kinds of special goodies being given away as well. You may want to check that out at their website. And also, if you're ready to go to the biggest ever Jazz Fest, experience some music, food, and culture of Louisiana, great bands like Chris Stapleton, Jean Batiste, The Killers, Robert Cray Band, Heart, Rebirth Brass Band, and more. Listen to Tommy Tucker, me, Scoot, and Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest Password of the Day. Then go to wwl.com/contest and register. Win a pair of tickets for the first weekend of Jazz Fest plus round trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle Passes. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. We'll be giving out that word a couple of times over the next 3 hours for your chance to win tickets. Got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to visit with Tom Trong, WWL multimedia journalist. He's done a podcast on Jazz Fest, right? And we'll learn a lot about what's going on there. And stay tuned. He has a great conversation about all there is to know about Jazz Fest, and look forward to that for sure. And so we will visit with him later about his most recent podcast. Also, in the 12 o'clock hour, Francois Cattell, owner of West Bank Fishing out of Empire. You know, we've talked to sports fishermen about the pogey issue. We'll talk to Francois of his thoughts, getting the other side of the issue. We promised that we would. We're finally able to work that out. Noble Bates Young joins us. St. Tammany Christopher Tape recall effort campaign leaders, and we'll talk to them. Gene Cefalu and Noble Bates Young, and we'll find out what their strategy is going to be relative to that recall election. In the 11 o'clock hour, Port NOLA Chief of Staff Sarah McLaughlin Porteous joins us. We'll talk about the impact of what's going on with the port, some recent occurrences there, a follow-up on the impact of the bridge being down in the Port of Baltimore and things of that nature. Joining us now on the line, the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Newell.
Billy, this Friday, Love the Boot Week kicks off April 20th through April 28th. You can sign up to participate in Louisiana's largest litter cleanup and beautification event. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I tell you, since Keep Louisiana Beautiful was moved under our office 2 years ago, they had about 40 or 50 groups would clean up Louisiana. Last year, over 500 groups. This year, we're well over 600 groups in all 64 parishes have signed up to clean up Louisiana during that week. And then many of these groups do it year-round. So we're well on our way. We've got a lot of work still to do, but we're seeing progress from educating our kids in school to doing more fines and people really getting involved in cleaning up our state. And we're going to keep our foot on the gas until this state is cleaned up. It's not too late to sign up, but you don't need to do it just this week. We also have where if you want to take your family out on a weekend and clean up your area, you can check out Tongs Invest at the local library. It's great exercise. And Newell, if you go pick up trash for a day, you're 90% less likely to litter. So
oh,
we
really?
Encourage everyone to go out and do it. Yes, indeed.
So once you go out there and experience what it takes to pick the garbage up, you get a newfound respect for that whole process, right?
Absolutely. That's what, you know, we asking coaches, Little League, get their kids to go clean up the parking lot after practice. It'll give them a whole new respect for keeping things clean. And we can teach this at a young age. You know, we spent $97 million last year cleaning up Louisiana after the fact. We're going to hopefully get the legislature to give us a little more money on the front end. We're mirroring many states like Tennessee and what they have done to clean up their state. And we're going to follow the same procedures, and hopefully we can get Louisiana cleaned up and keep it clean.
I know you rely on a lot of volunteer workers throughout that week. Tell us about the organizations that are aligning themselves with you.
Yeah, we've got 14 universities signed up, local schools, local government agencies. We've been pushing Leaders Against Litter. The governor's committed to get out there and pick up some litter. He supports and did an executive order to continue our focus group, that group that gets together with all the state agencies to continue to make sure every agency is doing their part. And I'll tell you, the DOTD, Wildlife and Fisheries, have really stepped up to the plate. We're going to be launching a new hotline where you can send in the driver's license and the date and time you've seen someone litter. They'll send you a form to fill out. They're going to get a litter ticket in the mail so Louisianans can start reporting these litter people, and they'll get a ticket in the mail for littering. Another statistic, if you get a ticket for littering, you're 75% likely to litter again. So those two mechanisms, cleaning up litter and getting a ticket, and only about 20 to 25% of the people litter, and we pay the price for it. So if we can start eliminating some of those people that litter and bring them to the clean side of Louisiana, we'll see less and less litter on the highways.
Billy, we are heading into the festival season. It is rolling along in a big, big way. I know that your office is intimately involved in tourism and luring folks here. What feel do you have? How do you feel about this upcoming festival season? And are we looking forward? And have we been able to determine the interest from outside of the state, not only within the state, but from outside of the state?
Yes. You know, we're coming out of COVID, we were always concerned when you've got like French Quarter Fest, which does a great job with a lot of promotional money competing in Strawberry Fest. Every year we're concerned and it had put a draw before COVID. Because we're now promoting every fair and festival around the state through the state agency and directing people to have that interest, we've seen record years. As a matter of fact, this year Strawberry Fest was their best ever. And so is French Quarter Fest. So we're drawing people not only from out of state, but out of the country. And a lot of people are coming to Louisiana, not just to go to the big cities. They want to get out and experience how Louisianans live in the country and visit some of these fairs and festivals in remote areas. And we're seeing more of that, just like we did from Mardi Gras. We had international visitors in Shreveport, Homer, Morgan City, for Mardi Gras, family-friendly, safe, affordable Mardi Gras in every corner of the state. And we're seeing that with our fairs and festivals. And, of course, the granddaddy of all, Quint Davis and his team, does an incredible job with Jazz Fest because that is promoted all over the world. People come from all over the world. Months before it, they talk about the incredible talent. And we get feedback from all over the world, people coming here. And then it rolls in right after that festival. People go home and talk about the incredible time they have. So that Jazz Fest has an incredible economic impact. I think it's $300 million plus. What a great event to have leading into this year with the fair and festivals and then the Super Bowl. We're expecting a record year statewide for tourism this year.
Yeah, in fact, as a follow-up, that's who Tom Trunn talked to in his podcast, Quint Davis. Really interesting conversation. As close as you are to it, you definitely want to listen to it, Billy. I think you'd be amused by a lot of the little anecdotal stories that are provided by Quint Davis over the so many years. I would have enough material to write about 20 books, quite frankly, with all of the talent, you know, that he's come in contact with. You've kind of taken a particular interest in Jazz Fest for a number of years now, right?
Right. What we do is we bring in some travel writers, and we host them so they go and experience it. And it's better to have them write about their experience than buying an ad. And by bringing these people in to experience it, you got to go there. You can't tell someone about it. They write in their columns back home, which gets interest not only in Jazz Fest, but in people coming to Louisiana. So we've found that's a great way. We've got bloggers and people that come in, and we host them for the Jazz Fest to write about their experience. And it's been very successful for us. And they also share stories about the other fairs and festivals we send them to as well.
Billy, I know that there's been a lot of discussion with realignment of CPRA, where it's going to fall. I know there are bills going through the legislature. As a result thereof, there's been a lot of conversation around the Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion Project. We talked about that briefly last time you were with me. What are you hearing? Are there any updates?
Yeah, I tell you, I had a great breakfast with the governor and several meetings with Gordon Dove, the new head of CPRA. And I'm encouraging everyone to go to LouisianaSeafood.com, learn all about it, and make your own decision. But if you are on board with what I believe, it will destroy our seafood, and it can't build land above the waterline. We could take that $3 billion, build a berm 8 feet high, 1,000 feet wide, on sustainable ridges and islands across all of Louisiana in our lifetime, lower storm surge, and ultimately with lower insurance rates, or we can open up the river, kill our seafood. It can't build any land above the waterline, so it's not going to lower storm surge. There's no positive to this thing other than a lot of people get filthy rich off of it. And so I applaud the governor for opening up the books and taking a hard look at this and scaling it back. You know, a small diversion that polluted water can be filtered through the marsh and not destroy our seafood, our oysters, our fish, our crabs, we can tolerate. And then take the majority of that money and build ridges and islands that will support and lower storm surge to our whole coast in our lifetime is the right thing to do. And what the governor wants to hear is the CPRA. Nobody's going to get punished like in the past, fear of losing coastal money if you speak out. The governor needs to hear from people concerned about the harm this is going to have. And we've got a new video out interviewing those people that were scared to speak up before are now speaking out. They're looking at this study done by the Marine Mammal Commission that says dolphins will be extinct in 50 years. It'll kill 50% of them in the first 5 years. Why is that important? The dolphin's the smartest animal in the Gulf. When it dies, everything below it will die. So finally, these studies that they didn't want you to know about are coming to light. Mississippi State just did a study that's not complete, but it says within 5 years that polluted water the currents will pull it to the Terrebonne Basin, where Jerome Durang has been leading the charge for the diversion. God knows why, but it'll start destroying seafood in his backyard. So maybe they need to take another look at what they're going to do to the people they represent. And you know the sad part, Newell, is I keep hearing we can't stop it now. We've already spent $300 million. We'll have egg on our face. Well, so you're going to spend another $3 billion instead of admitting you made a mistake? That's ludicrous. And that's what's wrong
with
politics.
That's a lot more egg.
You're right. But they don't care because in 5 to 10 years, they'll be out of office and Louisiana will pay the price of the destruction it will cause. And that's sinful that they can't admit they made a mistake and do what's right for the people.
Billy, there's been a number of recent studies about the natural breaks in the levees on the east bank of the river, Mardi Gras Pass being one, I think Neptune Pass being another. And there seems to be a lot of disagreement as to whether or not those natural breaks are actually a good thing or a bad thing. My reading of the evidence that's been provided thus far is that it falls on more on the side of it being a bad thing as opposed to a good thing. Is that kind of an indicator of things to come when we talk about this Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion Project?
Absolutely. Mardi Gras Pass, when I was parish president, we had 3 culverts. We controlled a little fresh water and kept the salinity. Those were the best oysters in the state. They have put the oyster fishermen on that side of the river out of business. Batcher's Marine was a thriving marina. People went out of there fishing. It's a ghost town. There's no fish on that side of the river, a few perch. It blew out that levee. It's 80 feet deep, I think 4,000 feet wide. But let me tell you worse than that. When I was parish president, we built a levee across the bottom of the river, kept the salt water at bay. Every year that Mardi Gras Pass has gotten wider and deeper, that salt water came further and further upriver. Wasn't a big deal till it reached Jefferson Parish in St. Bernard. Well, let me tell you this. If we build this diversion, look out. The first year it operates, I promise you, you will have salt water in New Orleans. And be ready. Now, when we brought this to their attention, what is the Corps going to do? They're not going to admit it, that this is a mistake. They decided they're going to spend $25 million and study it over the next 5 years. Just like the Corps, throw a bunch of money at studies, hire a bunch of consultants to make a bunch of money, and not fix anything. The flow of the river, almost a third of the river flows through Mardi Gras Pass now. It's common sense. Slow down the flow. That salt water is coming further upriver. So this diversion to take more water out the river, get ready, New Orleans. You're going to have salt water. And all those hotels run their air-conditioned systems and all with that water. That salt water will destroy everything it goes into in New Orleans. And we could do it by closing off Mardi Gras Pass right now, which when we first tried to close it off cost $6 million. Now I think the estimate's $40 million. Just like the Corps, they delay, and drive the cost up. The diversion was supposed to cost $250 million. Today it's over $3 billion. Only the Corps could get away with that. Any company would go bankrupt with those kind of projections. And it's unbelievable that they're going to be able to study this for 5 years when we know what's going to happen with that salt water coming upriver. It's only common sense. It's been tracked for years. And you cut down the flow of that river, that salt water is coming north.
Obviously, we had Ida. We had a whole bunch of other hurricanes since Mardi Gras Pass has reached the width that it's opened and the depth. We know that there haven't developed land above water. I've been down there. I've looked at it. When you look at the type of vegetation that's growing there, it's vegetation that actually requires that it's underwater for a period of time annually, which is the best indicator of the fact that it's not dry, right?
Absolutely.
So I don't understand why this historical data and why whether or not it's knocking down tidal surge hasn't been established already. I mean, that whole area ought to be replete with monitors to determine what the impact actually is. But it's almost as though we're afraid to find out in many respects. I don't quite understand. I mean, we should be monitoring that thing till all day long, 24/7.
They don't want you to know. You know, I think the parish president of Plaquemines Parish said it back. CPRA got so much money so quick that they have decided that they don't need to follow the rules. When it was created to support local government for coastal projects. Yet St. Bernard and Plaquemines voted 100%. They don't want it. They're actually suing to stop it. Why does CPRA keep ramming it down their throat? And I'll tell you another thing, Noel. CPRA has siphoned all the money from the levee board projects. They control everything. And I support the governor in scaling back CPRA. Give the money back to the levee boards that do the levees and things in there that they know best at a local level. In Plaquemines Parish, we tried to raise the road where the hardened year protection comes back to the Mississippi River instead of building a floodgate. CPRA wanted a floodgate. They got it. Now it's a nightmare to maintain because they want floodgates because that gives them more money to go out and close them and take pretty pictures of what they've created. They want more money and more control to hire more people. And the problem is they have gotten so much money from BP and they have wasted so much money that they just keep feeding this animal. And it's time for this governor to pull it back in. Let the local governments, CPRA should be there to advise and support the best way to spend money for coastal erosion, not the inside levee systems. Why have they taken control of all of that? It's just a monster that's out of control.
Yeah, I did not realize that that was what was being done. I mean, so we basically have a duplication of services being provided, which that's not efficient, right? I mean, you know, so if
and the levee boards are scared to speak up because they lose their money.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with the Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Billy Nungesser, the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana. Billy, I know the state legislature's in session. Things are moving fast. Any particular bills that impact your office?
Yeah, we're going to try. You know, we did a study for 2 years and put a whole team together to fix the museum systems in the state. And we have a bill to divide the museum board up into three boards, one in New Orleans, one in Baton Rouge, one in Shreveport. We've asked the Secretary of State to join in. We would both have seats on that board, appointments to that board. But we've got 211 museums in the state, many giving back to local government with no money. They sit there waiting for people to walk through the door. We bought the name LouisianaMuseums.com. We're going to promote every museum in the state and drive people to where their interest is. Everyone knows about World War II Museum in New Orleans. Well, when you go to that site, you're going to know about General Chenault's Museum and the museum down in Homer Morgan City, the Military Museum. So we're going to go after people's interest and make sure they know about all these great museums we have. But we need to do it with three separate boards because the people in Shreveport don't care about New Orleans and New Orleans don't care about the Shreveport museums. If we do this, we can attract more private foundation money and really make our museums the best they can be. And if I can get this board, I get the legislature to pass this, I will give up control of the director. and each board hire their own director. So they know they are controlling the destiny of the museums in that region, and that's what the study says is best for all of our museums.
Any resistance?
Oh, yes. Politicians don't like giving up control. The Secretary of State has not been in favor of it. I've tried to sit down and offer her more seats on the board, but she doesn't want to discuss it. She likes it the way it is. Well, her museums are closed on the weekends. We've had groups come from Dallas and shake the doors of the museum in Shreveport, turn around and go home because they thought all our museums were closed. I've gotten letters from people. We've got to have them all under one system for the greater good of the museums and the local communities that have these museums and promote them universally. We've got cruise lines interested in doing tours at our museums here in Baton Rouge. We want to put them all under one umbrella. It's not my idea. It's what the study and the team put together to evaluate this said is what's best for the museums. But I'm willing to give up the control of the director. She needs to be willing to do the same and let's do this the best way for Louisiana, and hopefully we can get enough votes in the legislature to pass this.
I got to imagine people are thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Why would the Secretary of State have museums under their authority?
Well, I think years ago, Fox McKithen wanted some more to do and had him put under the Secretary of State's office. Then when budget problems happened, they gave them back to local government with no money. So those museums, while many of them are gems, sit there waiting for people to walk through the door. They have no money for marketing, no money for repairs and maintenance. And by putting all of them in a region, we're going to get the tourism people more involved because it's going to help their region. We're going to get private foundation, which we used to get a lot of money from private foundations before the director was taken away from the museum board to a point. And I just like we've turned the state parks around, I am convinced 100% that we can make our museum shine if the legislature and the Secretary of State will allow us to do what's best for the museums and get it away from the politicians controlling it.
It's kind of frustrating to hear all these little nuances like this, right? I mean, at least for me, anyway. I mean, I can't think of a more inefficient situation when you have this fragmentation that's going on, and we're all trying to put our best foot forward, pretty ourselves up. We're competing for the almighty tourism dollar with so many other states that seem to be able to get their it together. And for whatever reason, we're stuck on stuck.
You know, it's power, it's control. You know, I've spent more time in the last week fighting bills that, you know, Jerome Zerang tried to replace me on the CPRA with Mike Strain. He couldn't muster the votes. It didn't pass. But then yesterday, a bill to take the museum director. I have to go over and keep fighting these things. And they don't even have the courtesy. You know, I went to the Secretary of State with the plan. She didn't want to talk about it. But they go behind your back and file these bills to punish you. Instead of having the guts to come speak to you about it, we can agree to disagree. Just give us a chance to argue the point what's best for Louisiana. And it's just like this fund for the sports money. A bill was filed to say I'm supposed to give a check out with no deliverables. That's ludicrous. If you don't want me to have deliverables for tax dollar monies, move that fund in somebody else's office, because I'm not giving any money to anybody that Louisiana doesn't get some benefit. To give the city of New Orleans or New Orleans and Company a check with no deliverables, I'm not doing it. So if you want to take that fund and give that money out with no deliverables, move it out of the lieutenant governor's office, because I'm responsible for those tax dollars. And so to have a bill filed to say I don't have to give deliverables is not – and to go behind my back and do that, I'm really disappointed in Walt Leger doing that. You know, we were friends, and I consider still friends, but you don't have the guts to come sit down and talk to me about it. Shame on you.
This legislative session seems to me to be more transactional than ever before. That's always been the issue of why so many things get moved into the constitutional as the constitutional amendment. Do you get that same sense that it, you know,
absolutely.
It's just
it's almost like the Wild West up here.
I hear it from legislators all the time. I talk to them every day. It seems as though folks are looking over their shoulders. They're afraid of their shadows right now. I just don't simply understand why we've created this culture, this landscape up there, that we actually fear retribution, retaliation, for speaking your piece, speaking on behalf of your constituents, for fear that it may upset somebody up there. And it seems as though there's more than one person people are fearful of upsetting. But, I mean, I just don't see where this creates a healthy dialogue by any stretch of the imagination.
You know, it does. Back to the diversion. You know, last year when I put that study out, I lost $17 million in my budget because I was letting the public know about the study that was done by the Marine Mammal Commission that said it was going to wipe out dolphins. And that angered Jerome Zerang. And they took $17 million out of my budget to punish me. And it didn't punish me. It punishes the people that we support in tourism around this state. And that he can say what he wants, but that's exactly what happened. And they don't expect you to speak up about it. And I'm always going to be transparent and speak up about these things and try to embarrass people into doing the right thing, because that's all I want to do. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I was supposed to be at the Lieutenant Governor's Conference next week to try to create this inspection fee on imported seafood and getting my Lieutenant Governors, get their congressmen on board. I had to cancel that trip today because I know a lot of these things are coming back around next week, and they won't tell you about it until they throw it out there in a committee. And you got to run across the street and defend yourself. And so I've got to stay here in town in Baton Rouge and protect my departments and the things that may happen. And you're right. It's a little crazy up here right now.
Yeah, it's a shame. Final thoughts?
We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of great things going on in the state. And we're looking forward to a great year in tourism. Our state parks are doing better than ever. This governor has agreed to let me move forward with my private-public partnerships. We can relieve our taxpayers of paying for those parks. They can all make money for us. So a lot of good things going on. We need to focus on them and put all this other stuff aside and just all work for the greater good of the state.
Billy, thank you as always. We truly appreciate your service, appreciate your time spent here and your insight. Have a great week, my friend.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
All right, folks, that's Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. We'll be right back. Stay with us. A lot of comments about Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser's what he just outlined, what's going on in the state legislature. This is a microcosm of what's wrong in government today. Nobody talks in the negotiations on any issues. Looks like my predictions are becoming more obviously true. Jeff Landry is a disaster. He's turning into Bobby Jindal II. Let's see. Not Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser rocks. Hi, hey, Newell, please convey to Billy Nungesser what a marvelous job he is doing as Lieutenant Governor with his emphasis on tourism and littering. So proud of this public servant, and the list goes on and on. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell, thanks so much for taking my call. Newell, it was so refreshing to hear the Lieutenant Governor. I wanted to share with you, and boy, I hope he's still listening. I left the private sector and went to work for state government for about 7 years, and he was the parish president at the time. And I went to work for state government at the end of Jindal's term and the beginning of Edwards. And he said something today that just struck a chord with me. But before I share that with you, I want to say every single interaction, every meeting, anything that I was ever involved with the Lieutenant Governor, tremendous situational leadership. And I just, he is everything that is good about a state leader, or really a political leader, if you will, and I mean that with the greatest sincerity. You know, Newell, one of the reasons I'm no longer with state government is because I did what Lieutenant Governor asked. I spoke. I was a program director, and I was appalled at the amount of financial waste. And he said something that really was my sticking point. The state is inundated with these contracts that are called fee for service or fixed cost. Well, nobody wants the fee for service contract because you actually have to offer deliverables. You have to sit down and put together a quarterly deliverable. So if your contract is to clean bathrooms in a state building, you have to actually account for that. No one wants those. And we just continually give these fixed cost contracts. No, we would send checks to people, $90,000, $150,000 a quarter. We had no idea what they were doing, if they even did the work. And when you spoke about it to senior leadership, you were basically told to sit down and shut up. And that's how it rolled.
Frustrating, right?
It was Newell, I came from the biopharmaceutical industry where I was highly regulated in what I did by the FDA. If I spent a penny, if I didn't know where that penny went, I was losing my job. And I'll never forget this, Newell. I was in charge of a contract that was worth about $1.3 million, which may not sound like a lot, but we're talking one contract with a state government of thousands of contracts. And I walked into the secretary's office and said, they're going to put together a quarterly deliverable for me. And he looked at me and said, you're going to really kick them off. And I said, you know what? Let me remind you, we're servants of the people. This is their money. It's not ours. Probably hear it in my voice, Newell, how passionate I am about it.
Well, I hear the frustration, too, because obviously we are having the obvious over and over and over again. We are stewards. We are fiduciaries in that service. I have real problems with what's going on with this constitutional convention that's coming up, this Public Records Act doctrine that they're tweaking as well. Today, April 18th, we are 33 days away from the beginning of this alleged constitutional convention that's going to start on May 20th, and we still don't have an agenda. 33 days away. And I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, I will not vote for my legislators if they vote for this bill ever again. Representative Lori Schlegel, Senator Cameron Henry, it will not happen. And I'm waiting to see where these people are going to fall, because I'm hearing horror stories about the tug of war, the push to pull, the threats and everything else, trying to line votes up. Privately, a lot of these individuals are saying they are not in favor of this. We're going to see who's a credible leader and who's not, and who's going to stare these individuals in the face and say, this is not the right way to approach this situation. They've provided no evidence thus far to convince me and most of the other folks that watch this very closely for years that this is the appropriate way to handle it. 33 days away, still nothing. Great planning. Really disappointing. We will be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Sarah McLaughlin Porteous, the Portnola Chief of Staff. We'll visit also with the group that is heading up the recall effort campaign against Christopher Tape. That recall campaign as it relates to the St. Tammany Parish Coroner. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.